Good afternoon. It is a great blessing to be here. I have been on the road this day. I did a first. I was telling Billy a little bit about a gospel meeting that I was supposed to do this week. And they called me and told me they were going to do one service at 11 o'clock today. And that was going to be the gospel meeting. And so I was thinking, a first for me, the shortest gospel meeting in my history. One sermon, and I got up there, and they doubled that. They had a sermon and a meal, and then they wanted me to do another sermon. So the gospel meeting was twice as long as I thought it would be, but wow, I'm glad to be at home, and I was very thankful to be there today. Now, I want us to talk about the storytelling. Be a storyteller. That is what I want you to think about. Our theme this week is evangelism. And what you need to be an evangelist is to be a storyteller. We sometimes get caught up in listening to preachers give book, chapter, and verse for about every word, and that's okay. That's a good thing. You cannot preach without backing up what you say with Scripture. If you're going to give a speech, you might use magazine articles or books or lectures, some individual as a source for authority. But when you preach, those magazine articles and other things are not the proper source unless you're just illustrating. The proper source for a sermon is what God says to us in His Word. So when you tell the story of Jesus, and that's what I want you to think about tonight as an evangelist. I told Billy and Bill Wade at our lunch, we have a lunch most weeks, and we try to every week to talk about the church and things that are going on and catch up with what the others know that we haven't found out yet. And this last week, I was telling them about my sermon and that I was going to use the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. And as I was talking to them about that, I said, you know, I was disappointed that we weren't going to have an audience. And so I said, what do you guys think about me just singing solo, Tell Me the Story of Jesus? And I see someone up in the IT booth shaking their head, no. And that's exactly what Billy and Bill did. So I've opted to only sing the chorus. Just kidding. I'm not going to sing at all. But I am going to use this story of Jesus' song to talk about you and me telling the story of Jesus. Be a storyteller. He told them many things in parables. Well, he also tells us what we call the Great Commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Going into all the world is about telling a story. If you go to a different country, my daughter was asking me today about countries that I've been able to preach in, and I talked about several of those. If I preach a different story in any country other than what the Bible teaches, I'm going in the wrong direction. I need to stay at home instead of going into all the world. So when you think about yourself as an evangelist and you going into the world, which just really means as you go wherever you go, some of you travel all over the world, some of you barely get out of Chester County. It doesn't matter. Go into the world that you're a part of and preach the gospel to every creature. This song begins by saying, tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. If you do not have the words of God written on your heart, and I'm not talking about having the whole New Testament memorized, I'm talking about the principles of God's word, the commands of God's word, unless you have them written on your heart, you will not be an evangelist, and you will not encourage other people to be who they need to be in their relationship with God. So when we start talking about this storytelling, it has to be written on your heart so that someone can say to you, write on my heart every word. And then the story most precious. We're going to be telling them the most precious story in the world. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest ever was heard. There are people that I have talked to that would tell me story after story after story about something happening in sports, or someone tell me story after story after story about gardening or farming or some other thing that they're very interested in and have some knowledge of. But if you ever ask them to teach a class or to do a personal study with somebody, you know, they're ready to back up and say, that's not me, I can't do that. The story must be written on your heart, and the story must be precious to you. And there are people who believe that this story is so precious because it is the story of salvation. Look at Psalm chapter 27 and verse 4. The psalmist said, one thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. If you could ask for one thing, what would it be? You see, if we realize, and we could help realize by telling this story of Jesus, that apart from him, we have no hope. That would be the one thing that we would want, this precious story, the sweetest that ever was told. And so there are people that are asking you, tell me this story. It's precious to me because it means my salvation. So when you get ready to tell the story, you're going to be wanting to tell the story of his birth. This song says, tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. You see, we sing about this, and people want to know the story of Jesus. They want to know about that virgin birth. They want to know about God coming into the world in the person of Jesus of Nazareth and telling us about what he did for us. And they want to know that story of his birth. In chapter 2 of the book of Luke, in verse 11 beginning, the record says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We need to be telling the story of Jesus and what it means to us and what it means to the person to whom we are telling. It is a precious story. This beautiful baby that was born and laid in a manger is the Savior of the world. We need to share the story of his birth as we evangelize the world. And then we want to talk about the story of his win over temptation. As we think about the story of temptation, fasting alone in the desert, this song says, tell of the days that are past, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. What a great story we read in Matthew chapter 4. It's recorded again in Luke chapter 4. The story of the win of Jesus over temptation. Had he failed, you and I would fail without a doubt. The perfect Son of God came into the world, withstood the most tremendous temptation that anyone could stand. None of us will ever be tempted in any greater way than was Jesus Christ, God's Son. The Hebrew writer teaches us that he was tempted in every point like as we, and yet he was without sin. A very powerful passage that ought to touch our hearts is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What a tremendous opportunity that you and I have tonight to be the righteousness of God, not because we're good, not because we're righteous in and of ourselves, but because this perfect, sinless Son of God faced every temptation that you and I will face in principle and was without sin. And so for our sins, he was tempted. And then Paul continues to help us think about that by giving us some information in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. We cannot go before God and say, listen, that temptation was so great I could not withstand it. Paul teaches us that with God's help, there is not a temptation that faces man, but that with God's help, we can overcome it. Not one temptation do we have to fall to. Everybody listening to my voice has fallen to some temptation. In fact, we have fallen time after time. And yet, God teaches us that because He was sinless, the sinless Son of God, you and I can be the righteousness of God. How powerful is it to know that God's Son took upon Himself our form, the form of a servant, Philippians 2. And in verse 5, it says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He didn't count it robbery to be on an equal level with God. He was there. No sin, nothing uncommon or unclean can enter the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus left that perfect dwelling place to come to an imperfect world, to live a perfect life, giving you and me the example that we must have if we are going to face temptation and we are ultimately going to overcome that temptation. So we want to tell that story. Read Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and learn about that story and see how the devil used powerful instruments of temptation in the life of Jesus and how Jesus stood firm. So be a storyteller. Tell the story of His win over temptation. And this song teaches us of the sorrow that He wore. In this text, it says, tell of the years of His labor. Tell of the sorrow He bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. What an unthinkable story. A great story. I don't believe there's a person in the sound of my voice, or for that matter, apart from the sound of my voice, who would say, yes, everybody in the world despises me and hates me, and every way I turn, I'm rejected. Most every one of us, I believe every one of us, wants to be accepted in our own way. But as Jesus came into the world, and He knew it before He came, He was largely rejected by men. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As we think about this context of the life that we live, we go through life after someone has lived a perfect life for us, who has done everything for us, who has suffered everything that you and I could possibly suffer in this world. But He did all of that so that you and I would not have to suffer eternally. And so He was despised and rejected in order to save us. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief to keep us from being men and women of sorrow and acquainted with grief eternally. We need to be unthinkably grateful that this text in Isaiah 53 says, surely. That is for real. It is true. It's not something that was a maybe. It's not just a made-up story, fictional story, but it's true. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We cannot feature the sorrow of Jesus. As I study what we are going to take a look at in just a moment, as we think about the sorrow of Jesus culminating on the cross, we want to tell the story of His sorrow, and if we do, we're going to tell the story of the cross. Verse 3 begins by saying, tell of the cross where they nailed Him, writhing in anguish and pain. It's such a tremendous story. How they nailed Him to the cross. They forced him to bear that cross up the hill to Golgotha. They nailed him to that cross, and they let him hang there to die. But all of that was within God's plan. The story of the cross wasn't a story that was hatched, as we say, in the first century. It was a story from before time began. God knew the story. He began to tell the story in the Old Testament. And as that story was unveiled in the life of Christ, we now have the opportunity to tell the story of the cross. As people who want to evangelize, teach the world about the saving power of Jesus Christ, our Savior. When I think about the sorrow that he bore, it's impossible for us to understand it because we cannot identify with our sins being placed on someone else in the strictest sort of way. We can read it and we can see what Jesus did and we can trust in that grace, that mercy, that suffering, that sorrow that he bore. I love Peter's statement in 1 Peter 2, beginning in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Jesus bore our sins on the cross. It seems to me that when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That had to be because Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. And that he had to separate himself from Jesus to suffer a spiritual death for me and for you if we were going to be able to live forever with God. The soul that sins, it shall die. The Son of God stepped up and took Roy Sharp's place, or Billy Smith's place, or put your name in that place. He stepped up and bore my sins, your sins, in his body. And a great part of the sorrow that we cannot yet understand is to be separated from God the Father. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, James 1 and verse 17 says. We have those blessings flowing every day. We can be as rebellious as we choose. We can be as ugly as we choose. God continues to send the rain. He continues to send the sunshine because he loves us and he cares for us so much that he would send his Son to suffer on that cross and to bear in his body the sins that you and I commit. But thanks be to God, the story does not end there. When I think about what we see here in this text of the psalm, it begins to tell us of the story of his resurrection. We need to tell that Jesus is not in the grave. Jesus is alive and well, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for each one of us, who helps us in our lives day by day, who gives us so much through the Spirit, who helps us every day of our lives and protects us. This text in the song says, tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he lives here again. This should be Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 and 6, a typo there. And as we think about Matthew 28, when Mary and Mary Magdalene came, they saw the angel, and they were concerned because Jesus was gone, and they were told by the angel, he is not here. He is risen. You may go to Jerusalem. And in that general area, there are several sites that claim to be the burial site for the Son of God. But you could go to 50 sites that claim to be the birth site, and you would find nothing but an empty tomb. because he is not there. He is risen. You and I need to be grateful that the Son of God, yes, died on the cross, bearing our sins, was buried and overcame sin, overcame death, overcame the devil. The devil could not keep him in the grave. We need to be telling people the story of Jesus. And if we do, we will make sure they understand his life and how graceful and merciful, compassionate and loving that he was, because he died on that cross, was buried in that grave. But thanks be to God, he is not there today. He is risen. What a tremendous blessing it is as we think about the story. And here's what they were told by Jesus. Do not be afraid. You go and tell my brothers, go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus was going to show himself to them. And that again should be Matthew 28. As we think about the blessing of those people being able to see him, he was seen by hundreds of people after his resurrection. It wasn't one or two. It wasn't in some secret meeting. He was seen by multitudes of people. And so we have the story of Jesus to be told. We tell great stories about them seeing Jesus. We talk about Thomas the doubter. I won't believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and that side spear print. And when Thomas saw and was able to put his hands where those nails had gone, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." The story of his resurrection is powerful. The sight by faith of his resurrection is powerful as we think about the story of Jesus. Let's go into the world telling about the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it all comes about because of the story of his love. There's another song that we sing called Wonderful Story of Love. And it is that, and we need to tell it. This song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, says love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. It is the story of his love. And as we think about that, there's no greater passage than we can find in Romans chapter 5 to help us see that. Verse 5 says, hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God's love has been poured into our hearts. Let's tell that story. That story of love, the wonderful story of love, that Jesus provides a rest. We have every blessing spiritually that we need to live with God forever. Let's tell people the story of the love of God. Verse 8 is so powerful. But God shows his love for us. This is so hurtful if we really think about it. He shows us our love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Love in that story so tender. It's the sweetest story ever told. It's the sweetest story ever heard. May God bless us to be people who want to evangelize. And I want everybody listening, if you can tell a story about anything, tell a story about a Christmas gift, tell a story about a trip that you took, tell a story about something funny that you saw or something sad that you saw. We are all storytellers. The most shy one of us is a storyteller. Let's make life really worthwhile for ourselves. and for other people by telling this great story of Jesus. And when that love touches our hearts, we will respond to the message of God. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who believes not shall be condemned. We're going to take that to heart. We're going to see the love that God had when he wants that message, that story told. We're going to tell that story, and when people who are children of God, if it's one of us, hear that story and be touched by the love of God who died while you were still in sin to save you and to help you. And our prayer is that if you're touched by the story of Jesus, someone has been talking to you and you've learned about the love of God and you want to obey the message of God, please call one of our elders or one of our ministers. We're very easy to get, and I believe in this way, we're very, very easy to talk to. May God bless all of us to tell the story of Jesus, to help evangelize the world. Let's close with prayer. Father, help us to see ourselves as we are. And for those of us who are listening to this program tonight, may each one of us see ourselves as a storyteller. May each one of us forget about the difficulties that we face and just tell the plain, simple story of Jesus, about his birth, about his suffering, about his sorrow, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection, and about the love that brought all of that about. Help us to be storytellers that we might win more people in love. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.